praise God when the music just moves you to worship. When we begin to sing praises of Him, what happens is our heart becomes so tender and receptive. We're not singing songs about who Jesus was. We're singing songs about who Jesus is. Amen. We're not singing songs about a God who was, who created. We're singing songs about a God who is. He labeled Himself, I Am, which is a present title. He's from eternity past to eternity future. When I think about the evidence, it brings us to the story that we have today, because some of the evidence that we see really weakens our faith sometimes. Evidence. I'm talking about the things that we see when we walk through this life. You know, the Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians 5:7 to walk by faith and not by sight. When we see something that's clearly in front of us, a lot of times we get really fearful. Why should we fear? The evidence is right here in front of us. But yes, there's lots of different evidence. There's the physical evidence of things going on around us. There's the things that we hear in that evidence. But sometimes when we focus on the wrong thing and we walk by sight and not by faith, we'll become weakened in our faith. Today, I want you to take your Bible and hold it in the air and bear witness of God's Word, if you will, please. Beautiful. You may be seated, please. I want you to turn to the book of Luke, chapter 24. Luke, chapter 24. When you find your place, please say, I have it. Luke 24. These last several weeks, we've talked about all these things leading up to the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We talked about as Jesus rode into town, that triumphal entry. We were talking about the days after. We were talking about the Lord's Supper. We were talking about the garden. We were talking about the crucifixion, talking about the burial, talking about the resurrection. Then what? Well, in chapter 24, it tells us then what. It starts at the day of the resurrection. Understand, on the first day of that week, very early in the morning, the Bible says that they came into the sepulcher bringing spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them. It tells us later on the women that were doing this, and understand Jesus had been anointed in spices as He was buried. We read that earlier. And then what were they doing? They came back knowing that this was just a show of love. You know, unlike the Egyptians who would embalm, they did not embalm, and so they would anoint with spices just because someone had passed away and the body began to decay. Then the stench would be there, and so they came just to be able to show this act of love. Something interesting, though, as I read this story, you think about, why would they even have come to anoint the body if they thought He was going to rise? Even these women, they were saying He's going to stay dead, or else why would they come? And then as we read the story, you know it, but it's the springboard to chapter 24, and I want you to see something. They came and they saw the body was not there. They found the stone rolled away. They were much perplexed, says in verse 4. Behold, two men stood by them in shining garments, and they were afraid. And it tells us that they said, why seek you the living among the dead? In verse 6, He is not here, He is risen. And that's a praise that all Christians have said in these past several weeks. And then we go to a story of two men on a road leaving Jerusalem. When we get down to verses 13, It's the Road to Emmaus story. How many people are familiar with this story? As I read this story, I prayed for God to just unveil the preconceived notions I had in my mind about the story, and I want you to do the same. I want Him to be able to reveal something to us that we haven't seen. That's always how we grow. But I was able to see a lot of similarities to us. You see, we as believers, any believers in here, if you're a believer, you're just like these guys. They were believers. They were followers of Jesus Christ. But something odd here, it says, and behold, verse 13, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 70 furlongs. That's 7 miles. I know that we're not used to measuring in furlongs. That's about 7 miles northwest of Jerusalem. And I want to stop here, and you say, well, you've only got through one verse now. But I want to stop here, and I want to raise your mind to something. You see, later on in the story, we're going to be told that as Jesus joined them, that they were sad. But I want to point this out at the beginning of the story. And it's pretty neat. You know, last week we were talking about the Passover. We went back to Exodus 12 and we were reading of how God put this in place. And then the life of Jesus there in Passion Week played out just as it would in Passover. And we learned that even with the restrictions of Passover, you were not allowed to leave the home that night as they were sacrificing and eating that lamb. But yet Jesus left that night, went to the garden, meaning He was that lamb. He became that bread, that unleavened bread. He said, take, this is My body that was given for you. God foretold that all the way in Scripture. But I want you to understand something else that I thought was pretty neat, is that if you were to look back in Exodus 12, you will realize that Passover was not just celebrated one day. That's when it began. If you look back and you'll see, He said, hey, call this month that you're leaving Egypt the first month, Nisan. On the 10th day, take the lamb. On the 14th day, offer the lamb. But then for the next 7 days, celebrate the Feast of Unleavened Bread. So there was not just a day, there was 7 days they were to be there. They all came to Jerusalem. We all know that, right? Then why were these two fellas leaving 3 days into it? Have you ever thought about that? 3 days into it, they're gone. This is a 7-day feast. Well, we know automatically something was going on. And we see that as we read this story, what they had hoped in, what they had witnessed, made their faith become so weak. What they saw going on around them made them even give up on their celebration as they left. I want you to keep that in mind. Verse 14, and as they talked together of all these things which had happened, it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus Himself drew near and went with them. Remember, Jesus has risen. But their eyes were holden that they should not know Him. And He said to them, what manner of communications are these that you have with one another as you walk and are sad? Right there. He knows they are what? Somebody tell me. Now, and one of them, verse 18, whose name was Cleopas, answered and said to Him, art thou a stranger in Jerusalem? Have you not known the things which have come to pass in these days? And He said unto them, what things? They said unto Him, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and all the rulers delivered Him to be condemned to death and have crucified Him. But we trusted that if He had been He which should have redeemed Israel, and besides all this, today is the 3rd day since these things were done. Yea. And this word means, and if that's not enough, certain women also of our company made us astonished when they were early at the sepulcher, when they found not His body. They came saying they had also seen a vision of angels which said that He was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulcher and found it even as so the women had said, but Him they saw not. Then He said to them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And he said, and beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And as they drew nigh into the village, whither they went, he made as though he would have gone further, meaning he pretended that he was going to go further. This is Jesus. But they constrained him, saying, abide with us, for it's toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as they sat at meat with him, that took bread, and they blessed it, and brake it, and gave it to them. And their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us, while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures? And they rose that same hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 gathered together and them that were with him, saying, the Lord is risen indeed and hath appeared to Simon. And they told what things were done in the way and how he was known of them breaking bread. And as they thus spoke, Jesus stood in the midst of them and said to them, peace be unto you. The story goes on about Jesus revealing himself, but for our reading today, I want you to understand some things that happened in this story. This was the day of the resurrection. We know these two had left Jerusalem, but they left Jerusalem because of what they saw in Jerusalem, the crucifixion of Jesus. They left town discouraged and sad because the one that they thought would be their Savior is dead. These two men that were walking, some say they were two of the disciples, but we know that they're not part of the 11 because it tells us they returned to the 11. And then it tells us in Mark's short account of this that they returned to the 11. So they're not part of the 11. Plus, Cleopas is never named in the disciples. All we know is that their faith had become weak. These two talk together, it says in verse 14, about all these things that had happened. Verse 15 says, as they reasoned together. What does this mean? Well, they were trying to figure it out. Jesus, the subject of their conversation, appeared. He drew near to them and started walking with them. And the amazing thing is, we're told in verse 16 that God in his sovereign power kept these two from being able to recognize Jesus, even though they were clearly seeing him and talking to him. God put something upon these two where they couldn't see him. We know that he was in a glorified body, so some say, well, he was totally different. But understand, he was Jesus. And so you're going to recognize Jesus, but they couldn't recognize him for a distinct reason. You see, these things that they were battling with were all things that they saw. These two witnessed the crucifixion of Jesus, the torture of Jesus. They saw everything going on around them, and there was such a block in their mind because they were going off of what they saw. So I believe that God says, what I'm going to do is speak to you in a way to where you can't see because it's your eyes that's messing you up. Jesus asked them a question as he walked with them, which tells us what their countenance was. Why are you so sad as you walk? Now, I think about this. The risen Son of God, who took every blow, who took every mockery, who took all the pain, knowing he had died for these two, had risen from the grave. He had defeated death. He defeated hell. He defeated grave. He was victorious. But yet, these people were sad. Why are you so sad? First thing that Jesus said. Now understand, so far it's them talking. First thing he said, why are you so sad? You know what they said? Have you not heard about these things that have happened? The one named Cleopas in verse 18 said, we're talking about the things that have happened in the past days in Jerusalem. we're sure that he was talking about everything that we've talked about in these last several weeks, from Jesus coming into town on a donkey, to the Lord's Supper, to the arrest of Jesus, to the trial, to the punishment, to the mockery, to the crucifixion. Because as we read verse 19, Jesus asked them what things, and they told him these things. But I think it's interesting. I want you to read verse 19 with me. It says, "And Jesus said unto them, What things? And they said unto him concerning Jesus of Nazareth." Hey man, the things concerning Jesus of Nazareth, have you not heard? Where have you been? Are you a stranger in town? Do you not know what's going on? We're talking about the things concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people. Have you not heard how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him? Have you not heard about these things? They keep saying these things. So Jesus said, what things? They went on in verse 22 to 24 to describe some of the other things that had happened since Jesus died. As we said, if that's not enough, they said, and we're even more perplexed because this morning we had two ladies that have always been followers of Jesus. They went to anoint the body, and when they got there, the stone was rolled away. They said they saw angels, and the angels said, he's alive. They came back and told the company, and then we had somebody run, and they saw that he wasn't there, but they didn't see him. So if they didn't see him, if he was alive, he would have been there. So now we don't know what to think because of everything that we're seeing. I don't know that I've ever seen a time in my life, I don't know about yours, where there's more reason and readiness to go from being okay to discouraged about what you see and hear going on around you. I'm counseling people all the time, and myself, counseling myself, that can just see something and you begin to think, why? Why is this? How can this happen? Why? Anybody in here like that? These things that are going on, surely this is not the way it was supposed to be. If God were, that's what these guys were saying. If he was, and I got to verse 21, and it all became real because in verse 21, they said, but we had trusted that it had been him, it had been he, which should have redeemed Israel. And besides all this, today's the third day since these things were done. So here we go. They were telling this to Jesus, remember. We had trusted. What does this mean? We had believed, man. We had faith. This was our hope. We followed this Jesus of Nazareth. We had hoped that he was going to be the Redeemer of Israel. That's the Messiah, the promised Messiah. We had hoped he was going to be there. So I want you to understand something. They said, we had hoped. This is past tense. We had trusted. But that's saying, now what? And I looked at this and I thought, you know, they were putting Jesus in this category, even describing him in verse 21. And I want you to see, they described him. It says, we trusted it had been him which should have redeemed Israel. And besides all this, if this is not enough, well, it's the third day since these things were done. Even at this point, we would see him. And I think it's neat when you put this with verse 19, and they said unto Jesus, he said, have you not heard these things concerning Jesus of Nazareth? Now listen to this language in verse 19, which was a prophet mighty in deed and word before God and all the people. Pretty neat, because even in the writing here, was is put in a past tense sense in translation. We get hung up on the fact, well, they called him a prophet. I'm not hung up on that. I'm hung up on the fact that they said he was. They were speaking past tense. I'm going to tell you what happened to them. When they saw Jesus Christ crucified, when they went through all these things, Jesus went to a stage to them of he was. That's why they were sad. You say, why is this a big deal? Because I think even when we celebrate what Jesus has done for us, Christians, how many of you will be honest today and say that there have been times when you think about what Jesus did for us, and we go in our mind back to the cross, and we think about the sacrifice, but then it goes away because it's what he did past tense for us. We put him in a he was the sacrifice instead of he is the sacrifice. How many of us do that? He was. We look back in history and we say some 2,000 years ago and our mind goes click, 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 he was. Jesus appeared to them to show them something that day. He appeared to them to show them they were sad and disheartened because they had a mindset that he was there to share with them he is. We know this as the story goes on. But I don't want you to condemn these two believers too quickly. You see, their minds must have had the same thoughts that we heard others say. If you were to go back a chapter before in Luke 23 as he hung upon the cross, there was a big crowd assembled. And as the people stood, it says in Matthew 23:35, as the people stood beholding and the rulers also with them, they sneered, they insulted him, they derided him, the Bible says. Here's what they said. He saved others, let him save himself. If he be Christ, the chosen of God, let him save himself. Don't you know these two were watching and thinking, come down, come down. Don't let them do that to you. Come down. These were not unbelievers. These men had followed. Come down from there. Don't you let them do that to you. Come down. And somewhere in that point when Jesus gave his life to them, he went from he is to he was. And they were walking sadly down this road, leaving before the Feast of Unleavened Bread was already over, already ready to give up on their faith. What in the world is going on? And then God, who is rich in mercy, Jesus Christ, said, I'm going to walk beside of you, especially when you're feeling this way. When you look around and see all these things going on around you, you're perplexed and you can't understand why. He comes along. And he hides himself. And I think it's neat that Jesus didn't just reprimand them for what they were saying. I think it's neat, and this is the way he does us, and I want you to take note of this. He let them explain what the things were that were bothering them so bad. He didn't just say, I know what you're thinking, you shouldn't think that. He said, tell me what you're thinking. You know, sometimes God wants us just to get it out so that we can see what we're saying is not true. We deal with these fears, these anxieties. They become thoughts that consume us because they go from that thought to a deeper thought to what am I going to do to this? I thought this was going to happen, or I thought that was going to happen, or why didn't God do this? And we work ourselves into this hole, right, until we finally are able to say, this is really what's bothering me. Have you ever had that time of clarity with God to where it stayed on your mind until finally it was like, God, I don't understand what's going on, and here's what is on my mind. Please help me with this. But I think it's beautiful. I think it's beautiful that he came alongside because these guys were no different than anyone else. As people were watching him gathered all around the cross and they were watching him and they were saying, if he's really Christ, the Messiah, then he'll save himself from this. There's no way that he can be our Savior. If he can't deliver himself, how can he deliver us? If he is Christ, he will come off of that cross. You have to admit that's a logical thought, right? Don't be too critical of these guys. That's a logical thought. Here's our champion. Even though Jesus had told them before he had to go through this and do this, don't forget that. It was in his word, I must go to Jerusalem. Remember, I must go to Jerusalem. I must suffer the hands of the chief priests and the elders and the scribes. I must be crucified, and then on the third day I'm going to rise. He didn't keep it a secret, but something happened. What happened is the truth was jaded by what they saw. Perk up, because this is the way I see a lot of Christians today. It only takes 15 minutes of watching something to think that this world is going down the toilet because, hey, something's happening or these people are doing something, and we forget that we serve a God that's in control, the one and only living God who allows what he allows because he has a plan that he has in place. And if we start watching these things with our sight, we'll forget that part of the things that are going on are part of his plan. Even if we don't understand them. And so we start walking by sight, and before long, anyone could come along and say, why are you walking down this road so sad? Hey, if I saw the light, he tells me I need to be the light. You can't be a light with your head held down, walking down the road, talking about a Jesus who was. You've got to be the light walking down the road, talking about a Jesus who is. And so the Bible says it's pretty neat. In his first true sentence to them, after why are you so sad and what things, Jesus says in verse 25, O fools, meaning O foolish. He wasn't trying to criticize them. He said, and slow of heart to believe what all the prophets had spoken. What was he saying? How in the world did what you see overwhelm what God has prepared for you in all the writings from his prophets? He's always said I was going to come. He's always said I was going to be the sacrifice, but not so fast. He went on and said, ought not Christ to have suffered these things to enter his glory? Now, I thought this was neat, okay? And I want you to walk with me. I don't want to make too big of a deal, but I stayed on this a long time, going back and researching. I won't share all of it with you. But as I went back and researched, I realized something. Before, they had told him, hey, listen, have you not heard these things concerning Jesus of Nazareth, right? Do you realize if you go back in the Bible, beside Matthew's account of genealogy, they said, hey, this is the genealogy dating all the way to where Jesus was called the Christ. If you go to John's gospel, John chapter 20, you'll see John writes, all these things were written about Jesus Christ, talking about past tense. But do you know that throughout the synoptic gospels, Jesus was never referred to as the name Jesus Christ. He was referred to as Jesus of Nazareth. Only after he was crucified, buried, and rose again was he called Jesus Christ. You say, why is that? Because we so easily call him Jesus Christ, we forget that before that, he was Jesus of Nazareth. And what he was telling these guys is, didn't Jesus have to suffer and do these things to go from being Jesus of Christ, Jesus of Nazareth, who he was, to Jesus Christ, who he is? Christ means the Messiah, the Redeemer, the Savior. But that, if that wasn't enough, and I love this next verse, you know what he says? He says in verse 27, beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them in all the scriptures, the things. You know, they were making a big deal of the things. Have you not heard about the things that happened? What about these things? It's been 3 days since these things. And Jesus said, what things? And now Jesus said, let me explain to you some things. This has happened. And when it says since Moses, it's talking about since the books of Moses, those first five books that were given by inspiration of God. This means you had a 7-mile sermon right here, a lesson from Jesus himself. If I could go back, people say, time machine, where would you go? Man, I'd love to have been on that walk. That personal Bible study. It says he went back and Moses said, how did he know all this? He was there. What does that mean? That means he went back to Genesis and he said, hey guys, let me walk you through this. In the beginning, Adam and Eve sinned, and their sin made them not where they could not go in front of God. And God said, I'm going to have to cover your nakedness, so an animal has to be killed, and blood was shed, and that became the blood sacrifice. It went from there, from telling what kind of sacrifice when Abel and Cain, it went from there to Abraham and Isaac as they went up on the mountain, and Abraham had to sacrifice, and God said, behold, I will provide a lamb. Jehovah Jireh. It went from there to God being able to say, these are the stipulations I put out here for sacrifice. Do you understand the blood covenant? It takes this, so you need a sacrifice. He went from there and expounded to them all the way through. Even so much so, you know, he brought up Isaiah 52 and Isaiah 53, right? He said, hey, he was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities, he was brought like a lamb to the slaughter, he never opened his mouth. Hey guys, are you getting it? Are you getting it? That's what he's saying. He expounded to them through the prophets, through the scripture. He said, God's told you this. What were they getting? They were getting the truth of the word of God, to fight against what they saw. Because what we see can weaken our faith. But Jesus walked with them and taught with them. And I love, as it's written here, he shared the scriptures concerning himself. Concerning himself. As you go on, you'll read in this story, they got to a certain point. And they had reached their destination. These guys had to be so enthralled with Jesus. And I love the way the scripture's written. He made as if he was going to go further. He knew what was going on, right? Isn't that pretty neat? He made as if they were going to go further. You think, why would that be put in here? I want to show you why it's put in here. And they said, no, stay, abide with us. You see, once they began to hear the truth, something happened. We learn later on that they revealed it, so I'll jump a couple verses ahead. When they revealed it, they said, did not our heart burn within inside of us when he talked with us and walked with us? They were hearing that truth. But when they asked him to stay, that was two believers who said to him, we want more. I want more of you. Now, that might seem like a big deal, but do you understand when, as a believer, you get to that place of looking around you and get disheartened by something that might have happened? It might be something in the news. It might be something with your health. It might be something in a relationship. It could be anything in your finances. It could be something that has you looking down and you're thinking, hey, listen, now I serve a God, but he was kind of stage. Do you know that sometimes if you can get in there and you can get that truth and you begin to get in that truth and you show Jesus, I want more of you to help me, then he'll give you more of him. He said, abide with me, or abide with us. And so he did. The Bible tells us that he went in with them and he broke bread with them. But it says he blessed it and broke it. That's a pretty big deal. Listen, it says, Luke 24, let's say verse 29, they constrained him, saying, abide with us, for it's toward evening, the day is spent. And he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread, and blessed it, and brake it, and gave it to them. A couple of interesting things here. And I've heard some people say, well, no, that's just meaning he had a meal. Then how do you deal with the fact of saying that he gave it to them? He was a stranger in the house. The stranger didn't serve. The stranger was served. Something happened here to where they gave him such a position to where you couldn't assume authority when this man was in the house. He was Jesus. It wasn't his house. They said, stay with us. He was going to go further. He was the one that ended up taking the food and blessing it. And he gave it to them. What happened? Well, when he did, it says their eyes were open. They knew him and he vanished out of their sight. Wow, why'd this story have to end like that? But the story didn't end. Because you see, when he vanished out of their sight, they gained sight. Immediately, they said this. Did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way and while he opened to us the scriptures? It wasn't just him, it was what he was saying. And they rose up that same hour, returned to Jerusalem, found the 11 gathered together with them that were with them, saying, "The Lord is risen." Pretty neat here. We get all the way to verse 34. I don't know if you caught this or not, but this is what stood out to me. They started in the beginning of this story saying, "He was." When they got to this verse 34, they went back and proclaimed, "He is." How big is that? What happened to these guys that were kicking the can down the road, so sad, so discouraged? What happened? Well, they had Jesus draw near them. And that's what he does with us. You know, God will make sure you get the word in a time where you need the word. It's just whether you're willing to accept it or reject it. He says, "I'll have it here." You make sure that you're ready to listen. And if you want more, he'll give you more. You see, the kicker was they heard Jesus talking. They heard him explaining the scriptures. The scriptures came alive to them. God had put a veil there where they couldn't recognize him. But when Jesus prayed to Father God, there's no mistaking. This was the Son talking to the Father. When he had that prayer and blessed the food, listen, there's no way you could be in a room with Jesus and hear him pray and not know that's the Son of God. All of a sudden, their eyes were open. Hey, that is Jesus. And then he left. That's all that needed to happen. They needed to go from a point of knowing that he was to a point of knowing that he is. And it changed them so drastically that they left that day, went back the 7 miles journey, right? It says that day they returned back to Jerusalem. Hey man, we're going the wrong way. We're going to turn around and go back to Jerusalem. What is that a symbol of? Repentance. And they went back with a story. Boy, they were hopping and skipping going back. I'll bet they ran going back. Why? Well, because when they got in there, they said, "You're never going to believe what happened. Never going to. He's risen. He's been with us. He shared the scriptures." He listened to them, explained their situation. Then he spoke the truth to them. Their faith began to grow. They wanted more at that point. He gave them more as he sat, reclined with them inside before the meal, you know. It wasn't like we do where we gather around a table. They reclined when they ate. They talked. But then when he prayed, and the food was prepared. You say, "Well, how do you know they had time?" Well, the food had to be prepared after they got in there. So they had time when he stayed there with them. Nobody knew how many were coming for dinner. They stopped and all of a sudden they prepared food and he talked to them. But then when he prayed, man, this is Jesus. I don't want us to overlook the significance of this story. You see, Jesus explained to him that, yes, he was. He was foretold in Scripture, but he wanted them to know that he is. I don't know what was in that sermon or that lesson on the road, but he pointed to every Old Testament prophecy with such clarity, you know, that they were soaking up. He went with them and told them, "Hey, this is what had to happen, and this is what had to happen," all the way down to, "Hey, you remember the story of Ruth, the kinsman redeemer? And this is what happened." So he went through all these things. And they said, "Please stay, please stay, please stay and eat with us." They wanted more. And I look back at my walk with the Lord and I look back at the times of trouble in my life that I become overwhelmed by all the things that I see around me. And then it dawns on me, the only way that I've ever gotten past that was to clearly tell the Lord, "I want more of you." But why did it take me all these years to realize it and look at a story? Because what I see is right in front of me and I have a tendency to walk by sight, not by faith. When I start walking by sight, my faith weakens just like these guys. I began to put God in this place to where It's the God who was instead of the God who is. No different than these guys were. You say, well, what helps you? The same thing. The truth of the word. The talk with Jesus. The companionship. That's what's always going to help us. And then I think back, you know, Jesus spent his whole ministry trying to get this point across that they were so weak in. I said, what do you mean? Well, I think back and Jesus began to tell everybody not who he was. He said, this is who I am. I'm the door. I'm the way. I'm the truth. I'm the life. I'm the bread. The book of Revelation said, I am the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. I'm the first fruits of the resurrection. God said, I am. Who is Jesus? He is the bright and morning star. He's the Lion of Judah. He's the friend that sticketh closer than a brother. That's all present tense. He is. And the fact that he loves me, I cannot fathom what he benefits from loving me. Knowing who he is. But if I put him in a category of who he was, then my mind will just start focusing on the things I have to handle, not the God that is, that said, this is part of my plan. You just keep being that light as you walk down the road. I've given you the evidence of my glory. I am. And we sang this morning. And you know what? Whitney had no idea, but she was saying, who is he to you? Who is he? And I was about to jump out of my pew, sister. Who is he? He's my way maker. He's a miracle worker. He's a promise keeper. He's a light in the darkness. And when I'm singing that, I'm thinking, that's who he is. How many times have I got defeated thinking who he was? If I stay in a who he was, who handles it? Me. What always happens? I get walking down that road like that, right? Who is he to you? The first thing he has to be to you, he has to be your Savior. If you've never accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, he says, come to me. Come to me. Not here's what I did. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. You know that God doesn't work in the past. He works in the future, in the present. He says, if you want me, come and get me now. You don't have to believe in a historical Jesus. You can believe in a Jesus where he says, present tense, John 14, John 16, if you accept me, I will send my comforter. He will come into you. He will abide in you. Today, right now, it doesn't matter what's going on around you. You might be looking at things right now and saying, I don't know why this is going on, or I thought this, or this is terrible, or what are we going to do, or why didn't God do this? None of this has caught God off surprise. He knows exactly what's going on. He's got a plan, and you're in it. But part of his plan is not for you to walk sadly down this road of life, looking at him as a God who was. He wants you to walk fervently down this road of life talking about the God who he is. He is greater than any of these things that you see. He is the one who is in control. He is. If you've never accepted his sacrifice, Jesus Christ, today, you can. You say, how do you do it? Then in present time, today, he spoke to you today. I didn't give you history today. I gave you something that would bring your mind to the present, because it ain't about these guys that walk down the road. It's about me and you walking down our road. If you're walking down that road today and you've never accepted the Lord Jesus Christ, the first thing that you need to do is be able to, well, say what they did. Talk about what it is. Jesus is going to ask you, what do you want to say to me? Then here's what you say. Well, I'm a sinner. I realize that. I believe that you offered your life for me as a sacrifice for my sin. I get it. I want to come to God. I know you're the only way to come to God. You are the way. I want you to be my Savior today. When you ask him to be your Savior, what happens to you is you become a child of God today, present tense. But I think I'm so more inclined to talk to believers today who get in a position like these two guys. And I want you to be honest with yourself today. Don't you know that at the end of this sermon, Jesus is saying to you, what are these things that have you so troubled? What are these things? When you begin to say them out loud to God, but you don't know, I heard this and they're trying to do this and this is going to happen and what if this happens? You know what he's going to say to you? He's going to say that he is God. Not that he was God. He is God. And he can handle them. That you're not supposed to fear. You're not supposed to worry. You're not supposed to be anxious. You're not supposed to walk down the road of life troubled by these things. If he is your God, he wants to see that confidence. He wants to see you running back to the other saying, he is. When I saw that in the story, I thought, God, help me as I repented for the times that I get sideways, walking by sight instead of by faith. Has your faith weakened today, believer, by what you see? You say, yeah, well, what do we need to do? Well, did not your heart burn when I was telling you these things and it realized that it was you instead of these guys? Jesus spoke to you today. So what do? Speak back. Come bow before your Savior and tell him you want more of him. That's all you need to do. I want more of you. Confess that, hey, you've walked by sight instead of by faith. You're going to get the same excitement these guys did. You leave here with that confidence. That's what you need to do today. That's what happens in a service. You have a time to respond. Respond during this time. Believer, respond. Unbeliever, be a believer today. Father God, I love you. I praise you. I thank you, Lord, that you're a God who is. I pray, God, as your message goes out today, Lord, that you would touch hearts and lives, Lord. There's someone here that's never accepted your son Jesus as Savior. If they're unsure, if they just believe in the historical account, but they've never accepted you personally, Lord, let this be today that they're saved. Give them boldness, Lord, just to come down and pray that prayer. I pray, God, for every believer that's hearing this today, Lord. You've shown us ourselves. So sorry, Lord, we get into such a position sometimes where everything we see, we put you in a category of that you were instead of that you are. This is who you are to us. Lord, as we want to claim it today, listen to your children as they come and pray to you today, as hearts are made right with you, as we leave here, Lord, confident in who you are. In Jesus' name, amen.